Well, that's a hard one to speak on with all the things. So I'm actually going to speak today out of the Kedavah HaShalachim. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word that you're giving me. And I just pray that you'll open our eyes so that you can see the wonders of the things in your word today. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay. I've titled my message, The House of the Bread from Heaven, Beit Lechem. Beit Lechem is, as you most of you know it, as Bethlehem. But in Hebrew, Beit Lechem, Beit as in Beit Gan Eden, Garden of Eden, Beit is the house. So Beit Gan Eden is the house from the Garden of Eden, or the house of paradise, or the house where everything that Yah wants us to be and leads us to is in this house. That's what the house Beit Gan Eden was named after. Beit Lechem was the house of bread. And as you know, Yeshua is the bread of life. What a more fitting place to be born. So let us go now to Luke 2 and verses 4 to 7 from our readings today. Yosef, because he was a descendant of David, went up to the town of Nazareth in the Galilee, to the town of David called Beit Lechem in Yehuda, to be registered with Miriam, to whom he was engaged and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him down in a feeding trough, because there was no space for them in the living quarters. I believe that because there was no space for them in the living quarters was added. You see, the scriptures have been changed over the years because of doctrines of many people. Now, he was placed in a feeding trough, and they were, and he was born in a stable because it was Sukkot. And they needed a private place. It wasn't December, so it wasn't snowing, and it wasn't really cold. So all the cattle and the sheep that usually were in the stall and using the manger to feed from were out in the fields, because the shepherds were still out there, weren't they? So what a better place for Yeshua to be born in Beit Lechem. But in a stable, the house of bread and the bread of life is placed in a feeding trough to start his life. I'll move on. Just a little thing to think about. Here is how you will know. You will find the baby wrapped in Luke 2 to verse 12. It says, here is how you know. You will find the baby wrapped in a cloth, lying in a feeding trough. And to me, this depicts Yeshua's birth not just how he was born, but why he was born in that place. It was done specifically. Yah doesn't make mistakes in anything. He has a purpose for everything he does. So he is Yeshua, our salvation, born in the house of bread and placed as the bread of life into a trough where people eat from. Yeshua was laid in a feeding trough or a manger when he was born. And if it was this Christmas, where were the animals? The animals would have normally eaten from that trough. And to me, every time I think of it, God's plan, Yah's plan, His ways are not our ways. His ways are so open for us to see the real purpose of bringing Yeshua into this world. The angel said that it was a sign to the shepherds in Luke 2 and verse 12. In other words, the baby laying in an actual feeding trough would be a sign. A sign is there to teach us a lesson. The term sign used by the angel literally means token. It's a symbol of something spiritually understood, not necessarily physically understood. So what was the sign? What was the lesson? What is indicated by Yeshua being laid in a place where food was laid to be eaten? To me, it's a picture of Yeshua as the food that we have to eat from. A manger is where food is put for feeding. Yeshua is the bread of life, which we are to feed off. He is the man from heaven. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, Yehovah gave them man from heaven. Yeshua is the man. He literally came from heaven and is the man. He's the real man from heaven, laid in a feeding trough. And as I said, Beit Lechem means house of bread. But it can also mean, if you live in Israel, Lechem also means food that isn't meat. Okay, so it's not just bread, it can be food that isn't meat. So the sign then is made very clear. Here he is from whom we must eat. But what does that mean? Well, from my way of looking at these scriptures, Yeshua HaMashiach came into the world to be food for humanity. In what way, you might ask? So let's have a look at the scriptures. Let's go to Yochanan 6, verse 33. It says, "For Yehovah's bread is the one who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." It's there in scripture. Here we read that the bread of heaven is the one, not the thing, the one who comes down from heaven. It's the person who gives life to the world. Yeshua is the bread, and he came to give life to the entire world. Let's go back and catch the context of this statement from Yochanan 6. Yeshua spoke of how people followed him in order to obtain more of the bread that he miraculously multiplied. In Yochanan 6, verse 26 to 29, it says, "Yeshua answered, 'Yes, indeed I tell you, you're not looking for me because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the bread and you had all you wanted. Don't work for food which passes away, but for the food that stays on into eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For this is the one on whom Yehovah the Father has put his seal.' So they said to him, 'What should we do in order to perform the works of Yehovah?' Yeshua answered, 'Here's what the work of Yehovah is: to trust in the one,'" once again, the one, the person that he sent. It's amazing what happens in our lives and how we're directed to go from place to place when we live according to Yehovah's word. Those very words from verse 27, if you want to put them up again, which says, "Don't work for food which passes away, but the food that stays on into eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you," was an aha moment for me in my life in 1984. I was in a Presbyterian church. I was superintendent of the Sunday school. Things were going on and I was spirit-filled. No one else in the congregation was, not even the minister. And things were happening in that church that didn't sit right with my spirit. There was a Pentecostal church meeting in that church of a Sunday night. And I would go to that service of a Sunday night, as well as the morning service at the other church. And it was when I had read this scripture, after a meeting was had in that Presbyterian church, or Uniting Church, that the congregation voted the Pentecostal church out. And I knew as soon as they'd done that, any covering that they were receiving because the Pentecostal church was in there, any blessings they were receiving were going to go too. So Yah spoke to me very clearly and said, don't work for food which passes away. I was superintendent of the Sunday school. But for food that stays on to eternal life. And I went with that church. There were only 17 members in it at the time. And it became one of the largest Pentecostal churches on the coast. It's really amazing how Yah directs us and what he gets us to do, how he guides us in our spiritual walk. But we have to hear from him. We have to hear and obey. Because Yah showed me clearly that a better food was with changing the place of worship. There is work and a labour that we should rather exert instead of labouring for bread that passes away and perishes. And that is why I left that church. I needed to move on. That church is now a kindergarten, completely closed down. Yeshua told me then, when asked about this labour, he said it is your belief, it's your believing, it's what you believe and how you believe. If they would believe, then they would obtain food and meat that brings one the experience to eternal life. But they didn't want to believe. Actually, when I went to the pastor to tell him that Yah had given me this word and I told him what it was, he said, don't quote scripture to me. If you want to go, just leave. Fine, I did. So in the next slide, in Yochanan 6, verse 30 to 31, they said to Yeshua, Nu, what miracle will you do for us so that we may see it and trust you? What work can you perform? Our fathers ate man in the desert, as it says in the Tanakh. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then they continued to discuss eating and food and spoke of a man when they had asked him to show them a sign. They wanted Yeshua to keep giving them signs in order to believe his words. They wouldn't believe unless they had a sign. They said their fathers ate man in the wilderness, which was actually bread from heaven. And if we go on to 32 and 33, Yeshua said to them, yes, indeed, I tell you, it wasn't Moshe who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father is giving you the genuine bread from heaven. For Yehovah's bread is the one who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Yeshua said that the bread that they did eat was not given by Moshe. He seemed to say this because they always seemed to compare him to Moshe. Moshe did this. Why can't you do that? Moshe did this. They kept throwing Moshe in Yeshua's face whenever while he walked on this earth. It was Yehovah who did the giving of the man in Moshe's deliverance, not Moshe. And it's the same Elohim who also gives the true bread. Yeshua is not to be compared to Moshe, ever, but to the man that Yehovah provided for his people in the wilderness. Yeshua's reference to the true bread implies that the bread or man that their fathers ate was simply a representation of something that was the original. What's happened? Yeshua is saying he is the genuine bread. He is the genuine bread from heaven, or the true bread. He is saying your father's only got a shadow of the real thing. I am the real thing. So verse 33 tells us that what the real bread is. It is the one person, Yeshua, that came down from heaven, and it is he alone who gives life to the world. In the next slide, please. In John 6:34, they said to him, "Give us some of that bread now." For they kept wanting more miracles. Then they asked him to always give them this bread. It sounds like the cry from the woman at the well in Yochanan 4:15, who says, "Give me this water." And the woman said to him, "So that I won't have to be thirsty and keep coming here to draw water." Yeshua told them that the bread is right before them. It's right in front of them. They asked for it, but it was right there in front of them. But they couldn't see. They were blind. In other words, go ahead and eat. I am the bread. Just soak up every last word that I speak. He told them to soak him up, soak up everything that he was saying. Be a sponge. But they still did not believe. There was no way for them to eat if they did not believe in him. The only way is through faith. And it was right there in front of them, but they couldn't see it, so they couldn't partake of it. The original man was to sustain Israel on their way from Egypt towards the land of Canaan. Yeshua is the true man, and the goal of Yehovah has for us is to eat this truth and get it into us until we come to a place where he wants us to be, a place where we as mere humans manifest Yeshua to the world. We need to come to the fullness of Yeshua HaMashiach. In the next slide, please, slide 7. In Ephesians 4:11-13, "Furthermore, he gave some people as emissaries, some as prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news, some as shepherds, and some as teachers. Their task is to equip Yehovah's people for the work of service that builds the body of the Messiah, until we all arrive at the unity implied by trusting and knowing the Son of Yehovah at full manhood, at the standard of maturity set by the Messiah's perfection." There are many of you here in this room and listening online or watching online who are not in leadership positions within your congregations, but you are operating in these ministerial fields, and this scripture is speaking about you. You do not need to be an ordained minister to do Yah's work. Amen. You must come under the headship of your place of worship. So you can't go off and teach your own tangent if you're in a congregation. You must teach what comes from the pulpit on the same auspices as comes from the pulpit, no matter what congregation you're in, because otherwise you're starting your own small congregation away and you're breaking off part of the body instead of uniting the body. doesn't mean that you can't do your work. Because as ministers, we enjoy the fact that people want to take initiatives and have prayer meetings and have teaching groups and things like that. It's good because that's how you grow, and we need it. And the ministers that are within the congregation, ordained ministers, can't do everything. So we need you. We need all of you. We came to see the world. We came to this world first and foremost. Sorry, Yeshua came to this world first and foremost as the bread of heaven. We would partake of him, eat of him, and feed from him. So it's only his word that we should be teaching. Yeshua said that he is the man. He is the true man from heaven. And then he became more specific to the people in his words in slide 8 on John 6 verse 53. Then Yeshua said to them, "Yes, indeed I tell you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves." This is a pretty hard scripture to get your head around, isn't it? And he said they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. For a literalist like me, it was too difficult for me for a long, long time to understand what he was actually saying. But I do believe now that the ultimate reference is that the blood and the flesh refers to the Last Supper reference to when Last Supper references made to the breaking of his body as bread and the shedding of his blood as wine. So let us go back to Matityahu 26, 26 to 28. Because this is what Yah's given me the revelation of, because as a literalist, I couldn't get my head around that other scripture at all. But when I look at it through the eyes of Matityahu, it's totally different. It said, "While they were eating, Yeshua took a piece of matzah, made the brakah, or the blessing, broke it, gave it to the Talmudim, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Also he took a cup of wine, made the brakah, and gave it to them, saying, 'All of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which ratifies the new covenant. My blood shed on behalf of many, so that they may have their sins forgiven.'" When he's saying to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, Yeshua is referring to his death on the stake. We find that Yeshua was provided to the world as bread and wine. He would die on the stake and provide the bread and wine. I believe the feeding of the body of Yeshua is what brings us eternal life. Beit Lechem, or Bethlehem as it's known in English, as I said, means house of bread. It was not just a coincidence that Yeshua was born in the house of bread as the bread of life. That's not a coincidence at all. That's a Yah incidence. He is the bread of heaven that was laid in a feeding trough so that we could eat of him. And the only reference to feeding on him is given in regarding the steak. So everything from the time of his birth points to the steak. He knew from the time of his birth that he was going to lay down his life on that steak. He knew that he only had 33 and a half years to live on this earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read, "For brothers, I don't want you to miss the significance of what happened to our fathers. All of them were guided by the pillar of cloud, and they all passed through the sea. And in connection with the cloud and the sea, they were all immersed themselves into Moshe. Also, they all ate the same food from the Ruach, or the Spirit, and they all drank the same drink from the Ruach. For they drank from a Ruach-sent rock, which followed them, and that rock was the Messiah." And then in the very next chapter, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 19 to 21. Granted that there must have been some divisions among you in order to show who are the ones in the right. Thus, when you gather together, it's not to eat a meal of Yehovah, because you are to eat your meal, each one goes ahead on his own, so that one stays hungry while another is already drunk. And in the next slide, in 23 to 26 of the same chapter, for what I received from Yehovah is just what I passed on to you, that Adonai Yeshua, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had made the brakah and broke it, and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this as a memorial to me." Likewise also the cup after the meal, saying, "This cup is the new covenant effected by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it as a memorial to me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of Yehovah, of Adonai, until he comes." Yeshua speaks of the food and drink of the Exodus, and then speaks of the bread and wine of his body and blood in remembrance of his memory. We require this bread and wine in order to get to the place where Yah wants us to be. Many amongst Israel did not get to the place where Yehovah wanted them. He wanted them to be a nation where Yehovah is glorified, a nation of people whose very lives and lifestyles bring glory to him. They had the food and drink, but they did not get to where the food and drink was provided for them to live and reach. In Yochanan John 6:66, this is amazing scripture for 666. I always look at that and see 666. But listen to the scripture. "From this time on, many of his Talmudim turned back and no longer travelled around with him." It is not a coincidence that this scripture, where 666 is represented, that some of the followers of Yeshua followed him no more and went the way of the adversary. So many people do want to get into the real concentration points to which Yah is pointing. They want miracles or blessings, like the people in Yeshua's day wanted the supernatural alone, but they didn't want the true bread of what Yah is stressing in the word. They wanted to play around and not feast on true meat and drink. They are not prepared to separate from the norm, to follow the word of Yah as he intended us to do. Yochanan 6:66 is another picture of people who do not arrive at the place Yehovah wants them to reach. Just like Israel of old, although he made provision for them to reach it by the way of the spiritual food and drink of Yeshua, Yah is concerned that we come to a place in the Ruach where we are in Canaan, or the promised land. This is where we come into the fullness of Yeshua HaMashiach. We have to get into the promised land. In 1 Corinthians 10 says that the Hebrews ate and drank, but their lives wound up in a tragedy because they lived their lives that were sinful. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says that the Messianic community was eating and drinking too. Excuse me. But they were living lives that were sinful. And they were forming divisions, which is not conducive to what the partaking of the one body of Mashiach was all about. They ate and drank as a form of simply having supper, and they lost all concept of the body of the Messiah that was being portrayed to them through that, of which they were all apart. They missed the entire point of the supper. They missed all the important messages in it. The body was broken for them as they all ate the bread that was broken. They were dividing from one another. They were losing love for one another. The Corinthians were not following Yah's word the way they were supposed to be. And note about the body which was broken for them. In 2 Corinthians verse 5, where we read that Yeshua died for us, which means that we are all therefore dead, and I've spoken about this before. We share the single once and for all death of Yeshua HaMashiach. And that is what the eating of the bread represents. We read about the steak in Psalms or Tehillim. And it was through Tehillim that I was saved in 1951. In Psalm 22 verse 1, it says, my Yehovah, why have you abandoned me? Why so far from helping me? So far from my anguished cries. These are the same words occurred as Yeshua hung on the stake. And we say it in Aramaic instead of Hebrew. We get Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And this is the event that Yeshua said would provide the bread and the wine, the flesh and the blood that would give eternal life. Yeshua's death on the stake is what accomplished as our deaths. When we read down this psalm, we find these words circling around his crucifixion. And we also see reference to the Exodus. In Tehillim Psalm 22, 4-5, it says, in you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you rescued them. They cried to you and escaped. They trusted in you and were not disappointed. And in verses 7-8 of the same chapter, all who see me jeer at me. They sneer and shake their heads. He committed himself to Yehovah, so let him rescue him. Let him set him free if he takes such delight in him. And in the next slide, in Mark 15, 30-32, it says, as the robbers on either side, save yourself and come down from the stake. Likewise, the head Kohanim and the Torah teachers made fun of him, saying to each other, he saved others, but he can't save himself. And so he's the Messiah, is he? King of Israel? Let him come down now from the stake. If we see that, then we'll believe him. Even the men nailed up with him insulted him. And Tehillim Psalms 21:16, it says, dogs are all around me. A pack of villains closes in on me like a lion at my hands and my feet. Most scriptures will say pierced my hands and my feet. But you can picture a lion with its big fangs getting to his hands and his feet. It's a much more vivid picture that is in Psalms that we find in the Kedavah HaShalakim. And in the next slide in Psalms or Tehillim 22:18, they divide my garments among them. For my clothing they throw dice. And in Matityahu 27:35, it said, after they nailed him to the stake, they divided his clothes among them by throwing dice. And in Tehillim 22:26-27, the poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Yehovah will praise him. Your hearts will enjoy life forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to Yehovah. All the clans of the nations will worship in your presence. Did you notice it said that the poor would eat and be satisfied? That is, they would eat and not be hungry anymore. Hunger always speaks of a lack. If you are hungry, you're in need of food, or you can't get hold of food, or there's a lack of something in your life. You lack that which strengthens you. We as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach should never lack anything. Why would it speak of eating after speaking of a steak at Yeshua HaMashiach? To me, it refers to the same thing Yeshua referred to on the night before his crucifixion, when he took bread and broke it, indicating his broken body for them and the wine representing his shed blood for them. There is also nothing else for the world except to remember what happened long ago. Nothing different is going to happen that men might be saved than what has already happened. Nothing is going to change what's already happened. Nothing other than what happened long ago will take people to glory and eternal life. So whatever you're going through, everyone must look back at the stake. This is what you have to remember, that it is where everything was accomplished. It's what happened at the stake that will satisfy you. You will hunger and thirst no more if you take everything back to the stake. The very next psalm, Psalm 23, reads the same way as follows. In 23:1-3, a psalm of David, Yehovah is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He has me lie down in grassy pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He restores my inner person. He guides me in right paths for the sake of his own name. The shepherd leads me by quiet waters. There's no turmoil. Where Yeshua leads me, therefore I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. I receive the food and the drink that I need each day. Still waters and grassy pastures give me a beautiful picture of food and drink, but it also gives me a beautiful picture of peace and shalom. Yeshua is the shepherd who leads me to the food and the drink. He is the lamb who provides the food and the drink, both the flesh and the blood. The way Yehovah restores our souls is to take us back to the stake and help us comprehend one more time what happened to us when Yeshua died. Our old lives died and we were raised with him. We are one with him. Is your life lacking something at the moment? Do you need restoration and some strength? Go to the food of life and the drink of life. Yeshua is your answer. All of this is written immediately after Psalm or Tehillim 22. It's the next psalm after the stake of 22. We read of the leading of the shepherd. We, his sheep, to the feeding grounds of the waters and the reading of the word, and after reading of the world, remembering and eating and being satisfied, we read of Psalm 23. We are sheep being led to eat and drink. When Yeshua referred to eating and drinking, he referred to his blood and flesh, and that was his death, which we identify with. The aspect of eating and drinking refers to our identification with Yeshua's death when his body was broken and his blood was shed, providing a spiritual picture of bread and wine. Eating and drinking his flesh and blood represents living from the truths which we believed that concern his death as us. Realizing that we received resurrection of eternal life when we believed his death was our death and freed us from the backslidden race of Adam. It's important to understand that we died with him. This is the entire basis of salvation from sin. Why is it that we see Yeshua as food in an animal feeding trough at his birth? Our shepherd leads us to food and drink as though we were sheep. And sheep identify with the lamb of Yehovah's sacrifice, as lambs were slain in Egypt to free Israel from the slavery of Pharaoh. As a lamb's death can identify with other lambs, we are led like sheep to the meat and drink of this Lamb of Yah, who takes away the sins of the world. As a lamb, he was like us, who had to be led by our great shepherd to still waters and green pastures. And the meat and the drink that we are told to feed upon is his flesh and blood. Sheep being led to feed upon the lamb represents us identifying with Yeshua HaMashiach's death. And there's another biblical picture of a lamb whose blood and flesh are identified with people. The Exodus story shows the blood of the lamb around the doorways at the place of their addresses where the people lived. Having the lamb's blood put on the doors of the Hebrew homes signifies our lives, the places where each of us live. They are identified with the lamb's death. Yeshua meets you where you live. He meets you where you really are in life. No matter what the problem you exist in, the flesh of the lamb was eaten in those houses with nothing left over. They had to eat it all. In the next slide, please. It says in Shemot, Exodus 12, 8 to 10, that night they are to eat the meat roasted in the fire. They are to eat it with matzah and maror. Don't eat it raw or boiled, but roasted in the fire, with its head, the lower parts of its legs, and its inner organs. Let nothing of it remain till morning. If any of it does remain, burn it up completely. As a lamb, Yeshua HaMashiach was slain in sacrifice as ourselves. And the food and drink is the flesh and blood of the lamb. Back in Psalm 22 verse 6, we read the hearts of a living forever. It says, the poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Yehovah will praise him. Your hearts will enjoy life forever. Hallelujah. This is the eternal life that will be provided in the bread and the wine of the flesh and the blood. The steak provided us with the bread and wine of Yeshua's body and blood. The literal bread and wine is not the body and blood of Yeshua in the remembrance service. It's not literal. They are representations of the body and the blood. And it is a remembrance service. It's to remember what he did. In Yochanan 6 and verse 50 it says, but the bread that comes down from heaven is such that a person may eat it and not die. We're talking about the bread from heaven provided in the great house of bread, laid in the feeding trough or manger, that we may feed and have eternal life. Then we hear the world remembering the Tehillim Psalms 22:27, which says all of the ends of the earth will remember and turn to Yehovah. All the clans of the nations will worship in your presence. Eating and being satisfied is connected with the world remembering. Because we eat the bread and wine and we are satisfied to the strength in our faith and our believing lives. We do so in the remembrance of Yeshua's death each Shabbat when we meet together. In 1 Corinthians 11:23b to 25 it says, Adonai Yeshua, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after this he made the brachah and broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this as a memorial to me. It's a memorial. Likewise, also the cup after the meal, saying, this cup is the new covenant offered by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it as a memorial to me. It's not just to be done on Passover. It's to be done whenever we meet together as a memorial that we are one, one body in one body of Yeshua. The eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine is done in as a memory or a remembrance of Yeshua's deaths as our deaths. Nowhere in Scripture is it mentioned as a communion. Remembering this truth is what is so crucial to our lives. All the world will remember Yeshua's death, not just the Hebrews of his day. This is the key of being satisfied. As lambs, we come to the stall and the manger, the feeding crib, and we identify with another spotless lamb, one like us who died our deaths. When Yeshua was crucified, Yehovah was crucifying our old lives. He was destroying my body of sin, your body of sin, so that we may not serve sin anymore. We come to the house of bread where Yeshua came into the world from heaven. He was the true man. From his birth, having been laid in a feeding trough, to the last day before his death, when he gave them bread and wine and told them it was his body and his blood, he indicated that he was the bread of life for the world. So let us come now to the table of remembrance with a true realization that Yeshua's birth and death means to us and to our lives. Without him, we are and have nothing. With him, no matter what our circumstances, we can overcome anything as long as we keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds on what he did for us at the stake. Remember, it's not the challah or the matzah. It's Yeshua that's the bread of life that it represents. So we'll now go to the remembrance service.